The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
On today's program, we're going to talk with someone who's dealing with an aging parent, trying to figure out, do we need to get a trust for mom, or what if I list myself as joint tenants on the property? How's that going to impact things?
And we also have a very fascinating call with a young lady who is asking herself, does she need life insurance? She's single. We don't know.
Maybe, maybe not. Stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays helping people plan their financial futures. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you're listening to us live on a terrestrial radio station or you're listening via podcast, either way, we're glad you are part of the program. And as you know, part of the show is driven by calls that you bring to us, and we love taking your calls and your questions. Many of our calls deal with retirement. One of the things that we kind of specialize in with our firm here is helping people transition to retirement. So if you have a question regarding your financial issue on retirement, love to take that. Maybe it has to do with, how do you save enough for retirement? Are you ready for retirement? How do you get the kids through college?
Is someone pitching you something that may or may not be appropriate? Is someone trying to disguise life insurance as a retirement plan? Is someone trying to sell you an indexed annuity? What else are we seeing a lot of now?
And to be part of the program, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. I had lunch with my nephew the other day.
How old?
He's 21.
You have a lot of nephews, though.
Yes, I do.
Or nieces and nephews.
Yes, I do. I have one sister with 9 kids, all naturally just boom, boom, boom. And
That didn't sound good.
That didn't sound good.
I hope she doesn't listen to the show.
She, every 2 years, she had another kid. And my mom said, at first, when she would call and say, Mom, guess what? I'm pregnant. My mom would have tears of joy. She says, as the years went on, it would be tears of sorrow. Not another one, honey.
And she shared that. Did your sister know that as well?
Oh, my mom gossips about all the kids. I don't know what she says about me, but oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, I just want to make
anyway,
sure.
Anyway, now we're way off topic. So I'm having lunch with my nephew, and he asked me about, there's a multi-level marketing company in financial services. Okay.
No.
It was a predecessor. It was A.L. Williams back in the day.
The coach.
Right? So someone pitched him. He works it as another regular job. Someone pitched him at work and said, oh, you'd be great at being a financial advisor. Right. So he's partway through college. And so he sends me a text. What do you think of this company? I'm like, he said, I could tell by your text you weren't too excited. So
that was nice of you to go to lunch with him to discuss him not entering a multi-level marketing.
He's my nephew. What am I going to do?
I don't know.
I don't really like the kid, but I got to pretend. I'm just joking. He's a great kid. I love the kid.
Okay, so.
So I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm like, you said life insurance disguises investments. This is exactly what this is. That they get an insurance license. You get your insurance license. Now you're a financial advisor. And you go and you pitch, first of all, with insurance, and you get people to redo their insurance plan. And then you free up other money to invest in other areas. That's what he was pitched at.
And he was considering doing that.
He kind of didn't pass the smell test after
good for him.
Meeting with the people. Yeah. So one of the things that people are out there, this is when you talk about being pitched some product, you might be pitched a product by, if you're pitched a product, you shouldn't be buying.
Yeah, that's right. Products are solutions.
That's kind of like if you went to you had a problem with some medical doctor, all he's doing is pitching some kind of, you imagine if you first walked in before they needed a diagnosis. Oh, let me just tell you.
Amoxicillin.
It is the best. And they start telling you about how great this particular drug is. You look, I'm like, the guy's crazy. Or her,
or
like, she's crazy.
Or the,
like, let's find out what my issue is.
Their solution to everything was amoxicillin. And then, like, they called themselves the amoxicillin store. Right? You wouldn't go there, right? You want someone that's actually going to diagnose your situation.
Absolutely.
And then make appropriate recommendations. Products are just tools to get to the solution.
Yes. Anyway, so today,
so if you're getting pitched anything,
probably not
start
the best
with
the
product.
Yeah. So if you want to be part of the program, love to take your call. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 888 248-242-6766. That number will get you here on Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And we're starting off in Citrus Heights, California with Fred. Fred, you're with Hanson McLean.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Fred.
I'm a longtime listener, and I want to thank you, both of you, for the great service you do in educating people about finances.
Wow, thank you.
I've learned so much from you guys for the last 20 years. So here's my...
Appreciate it. Thanks, Dad.
My question.
I'm joking.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. I have a friend, Jane, who is a widow with three adult children. She's a retired school teacher with a 403B. She wants to know the advantages and disadvantages to her three children of taking her pension, her distributions from a 403 versus taking the distributions from an IRA.
At her death?
Yes.
Does she have both a 403B and an IRA?
She's thinking about the possibility of transferring the 403B to an IRA. So she wants to know, should her heirs take the distributions from the 403B, or should they take them from an IRA in terms of what's best for them?
Good question. So is someone better off dying and leaving a 403B behind or an IRA behind? I would say an IRA. They're much more flexible.
Okay. And why, okay. Scott? I don't know if I can tell the difference between the two.
Well, here's why. Because if it's in an IRA, first of all, there's more investment opportunities with an IRA than there is a 403.
I'll give you that.
A lot more investment.
Pretty much the universe of investments.
If she has an IRA established at a firm and she passes away and she has three children listed as beneficiary, all the children need to do is produce a death certificate along with that certificate. If they're listed as beneficiaries, that IRA will automatically be split into three separate IRAs called beneficiary IRA. The assets would be split three ways. Then each child would have the opportunity to either keep the investments the way they were or make some changes on them. They could each withdraw what they want to. They're not limited by other restrictions.
What's the difference in that in the 403B?
The 403B, it's depending if it's with an insurance company. It's either with an insurance company or a mutual fund.
Got it.
Or a 403B7, it could be. But there's still limitations, and so, they're just more restrictive.
So, Fred, the answer to your question is...
Pat, if it was your situation...
Well, I'm just going to answer the question for Fred. If she's no longer employed, there's no reason in the world to keep it in a 403B. None.
Unless she thinks she wants to borrow it out of it.
That's the only reason. Do you think she'll ever want to borrow from this account?
Oh, no.
Okay. There's no reason in the world to keep it in a 403B. None.
Okay.
So,
for familiarity.
Correct. The reason I don't know the answer to it is I've never seen a 403B.
Because typically at this stage in life, you transfer them to other
IRA.
Places.
Yeah, an IRA. Especially
a 403B. A lot of the old 403Bs were insurance contracts that have their own. They have their own. Its insurance contract has its own set of rules at distribution time.
So the distributions then would be based on the heir's life expectancy?
From their IRAs. Correct. From their IRAs, yes. How they take their required minimum distribution is based on their life expectancy. Very good, Fred.
So I think I had read somewhere with the 403B, there's a rule somewhere, the five-year rule. I said that some require all the monies to be taken out over 5 years.
Yes. So back to my point of with a 403B, the companies can have their own set of rules and restrictions.
Okay.
With an IRA, it does not work that way. It's totally flexible and liquid.
Awesome. Well, I will certainly pass on the information.
Well, you're a good friend.
Yes. Appreciate it, Fred.
It was nice of you to call for her.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
All right, you too. You know, it's interesting, Pat. We've been doing this radio program for 22 years. And we have a lot of people like Fred who call that never hire a financial advisor.
Yeah.
My guess is Fred has always.
Well, he's given advice to other people.
Right. But we have a lot of people that have spent time with our radio program, spent time on our website, as well as other websites and whatnot, but are highly educated in the area of finance, make all their own choices. But they oftentimes will have friends that come to them. Some choose to go ahead and take on that responsibility and help their friends out and give them specific advice.
Yes.
Oftentimes, though, there are people say, look, I'm confident with my own. I enjoy the stuff my own. I really don't want that responsibility of telling you what you should be doing. in the event something doesn't work out, I don't want that back. So one thing that's been interesting
and,
is just...
And the personal relationship.
How many people have been referred to our firm over the years from people like Fred?
That yes, that give advice to their friends and finally say, hey, go see Hanson.
I mean, it's really kind of amazing.
Yeah.
We have lots of people referred to our firm like
that. Yeah.
To be part of Hanson McLean, if you'd like to join the show, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. And we are in Northern California with Benita. Benita, you're with Hanson McLean.
My question this morning is, I have a mother that is getting on in her years, and we have not finished setting up her living trust. She currently owns her condominium that she doesn't owe very much on. And so I'm thinking, while we're working on the trust, I should go ahead and go on title with her as joint tenant, just in case something happens. If something happens before we finish the trust, of course, as joint tenant, I will inherit or take the property at that point. My question is, if at that point I sold it and divided the property up with me and my siblings, would we be hit with the capital gains tax since it wasn't our
you
primary
would be.
Residence? Okay, I would be. Okay.
Yeah. Why?
So the challenge by doing this, you set up joint. What happens on that is your mother is making a gift to you. Okay.
Yes.
So she's gifting, whether it's 50% or whatnot. That was something that can actually have to could,
but then,
theoretically have to be argued at a tax court. Frankly,
but then what would happen is that you then have to, if you inherit those properties and you want to give those assets to your brothers and sisters or your siblings, there's a limitation without using
a gift
up
tax.
Your gift tax credit. But most of the time that doesn't matter anymore because of the high limit.
The simplest thing is
I don't understand why you would go through this when you could get a trust done in less than a week.
Okay.
I mean,
well, because I'm trying to prepare the trust myself for her.
Oh.
And then I'm a pretty busy person, so
I would not do that.
I've got all the paperwork. I still have to sit down with her and ask.
So
her
the right now, I'm going to be real frank with you. The money that you're saving right now is pittance to what you'd be paying in extra taxes if you just did the maneuver you were planning on doing.
Yeah, that's and we're not attorneys. We're not even qualified to answer estate tax questions. We're not by our license. We're not. We don't practice law. So. You spend the what's your mother's net worth?
Not much. Maybe $150,000.
And how many siblings are there?
Four.
And it's a property that.
And are you concerned with her? So you can get a power of attorney. I mean, one thing you could do. Is you can set up on title in California now allows for transfer at death.
Yes.
You can list you and your siblings on title for transfer at death.
Which would be the easiest. Is most of her assets in the equity in the home?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, that's how I would do
and
it.
And then a power of attorney.
Yeah. Also, you're...
And avoid the trust.
You're also exposing your mother to your liabilities when you go on title.
Yeah, you will.
So I wouldn't.
Oh yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. So something happens to you, all of a sudden
you get in a car accident or something.
Yeah, it's an asset. It's your asset. They can go after it. Yeah, I would consider that. Why don't you just call a local estate planning attorney and just have a 10-minute conversation with them? It doesn't sound like your mother's assets are large enough to actually go through a full-blown trust process.
But right, you could do and that's what she's been told, yeah.
Yeah, but you could do a TOD.
Transfer on death.
Consider doing a TOD, and then list the siblings as, and then get a POA, or power of attorney, on the rest of it. Call it a day.
Okay, a transfer on death and a power of attorney.
Yeah, the power of the attorney is for the rest of the assets.
She becomes incapacitated, you can act on her behalf.
And the
house while she's still around.
And the transfer on death is essentially how to transfer title without going through probate.
Okay, so then if it was transfer, oh, okay, got it. And that's probably one of the biggest concerns. I don't want the I don't want it to go into probate because she didn't have anything written down, and that's my biggest concern.
But I would still spend the $100, $150 to have a 10-minute conversation and run that by an estate planning attorney. Just tell the attorney, she doesn't have the money to spend on a trust. We don't think the estate is large enough for a trust. This is what I'm considering doing. What do you think?
Yep.
And that's what I would do.
I would
talk to
that.
An attorney about that. All righty?
Okay.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Great. Thank
all right.
you.
Good luck,
thank
Bonita. You. And it's a tough situation because there's not a lot of assets there for mom.
Yeah.
The challenge with, and I know there's companies that specialize with online forms. The challenge is not the forms. It's that you don't know what you don't know.
So I was getting these shots in my knee for some knee issues called Orthovis. And I'm 55 now. I am going to start talking about my aches and pains.
Okay,
and you're going to have to listen.
All right.
So I'm getting these shots.
I'm just wondering what this has to do at all with this.
So I'm getting these
matter.
Shots in my knees. And the doctor's charging like $300. So then last time I go in there, I said to her,
like, how dare that doctor make a living off
I
me?
I said to the receptionist,
find some other person to pay his bills.
When
bills.
I was scheduling the appointment, I said, this seems to be an incredible amount of money for just a simple shot. Why does a shot, just him doing it, it's not even the medication, cost $300? I think that's ludicrous. And she said, you're not paying him for the shot. You're paying him to know where to put this
is
shot.
That what she said?
Yeah. And that's what it
that's
has.
That's hilarious.
That's what it has to do.
Well, she's been trained.
Well, I don't know whether she's been trained or not, but that has to do with exactly what you just said was you think you're paying for the forms for the attorney?
Yeah.
You're not. You're paying for how to use the forms and what's the appropriate application. So they didn't move on the price of the shot into my knee.
But you don't get the shot anymore.
I don't. I've been able to, through physical therapy and exercise, fix it.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
1-888-2-HANSON to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're in San Francisco with Marcy. Marcy, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello, Scott and Pat.
Hi, Marcy.
Thanks for letting me be part of your financial fun fest today.
Oh, it is a fun fest, no question.
Wake the kids, call the neighbors.
My husband and I have just retired this year.
Congrats.
He's 60. Thank you. He's 60 and I'm 58. We have about $6 million in our tax-deferred accounts.
Wow.
And about...
That's really unusual.
We've been working very hard saving and... Yeah, living below our means.
And do you is that kind of split evenly between the two of you?
No, he is the breadwinner.
Okay.
So it's probably about 3/4 him, 1/4 me in after tax.
And did he work for a company that had a stock that did tremendously well, or is he just good at is managing his investments?
No, he's good at managing his investments.
Well, that's
Yeah,
great.
And then we have about $650K in our after-tax, all in CDs.
All right.
All righty. What's your question for us?
Right. None of us has a pension or any other monthly income sources, and we're planning on taking Social Security at age 70. Does it make sense for us to convert some of our traditional IRA to a Roth IRA each year until we reach 70 and a half, up to a maybe 15-25% Fed bracket?
What's your income? What's your income going to be, for example, in 2018? What are you living off?
We're living off our after-tax assets, our CDs, and maybe taking a little bit out of our traditional.
Brilliant,
IRAs.
Brilliant planning. Think about this. Next year, very little taxable income.
Mm-hmm.
You maximize your 15% tax bracket through converting money from your IRA to a Roth IRA and use some of your money in CDs to make your living expenses. Do that for the next year and the year after.
Scott, I'm going to...
Pat disagrees.
I'm going to...
Shaking his head at me.
I'm going to slow down here for a second. Marcy, you're retiring. You just retired. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what was your income while you were working?
Well, both of us combined, it was probably about $200K.
And what do you plan on living on when you're...
But they've been saving a ton.
Yes, we've been saving a ton, putting a bunch of kids through college. Yeah.
What are your income needs?
Taxes. Okay, so our income needs, our planned spending is about $100,000 a year after taxes, and that's for expenses, health insurance, travel, gifts, charitable giving, everything.
And the house is paid for?
No, we have a mortgage, $140,000. That's part of the cash reserves, too, just as a cushion. $140,000 in the mortgage.
Right. Yeah, if it were me, I would 2018, I would see how much I can convert to a Roth.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably do the same in 2019. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would wait till, actually, let me rephrase. I would not wait till I was age 70 to take Social Security. And here's one.
That is correct. Two things. One, I'd like to see you spend a little bit more money.
All right. Okay.
No, truly.
We could do that. No, we could do, yeah, with raising kids and all, it's just going out the door, and now it's like, whoa, okay.
So
it's a lot of charitable, a lot of gifts. We have a lot of travel planned. Yeah,
you've done great, and it will be hard for you to actually kind of change that thinking. That mm-hmm. It's hard to take money out of, especially if you're great savers, and then start spending.
And the reality is, most people hit retirement with money saved up, not because they inherited it or through luck. It's because they were disciplined savers for their entire life. That's what our experience is. Most people that come into retirement that have a lot of savings, it's because they've worked hard at savings.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. And so I think you should do some Roth conversions where appropriate. But at the same time, I think you should actually probably start a 3% distribution on the
At least for a year or two, why not have that instead of distribution, have it go to a Roth and spend down some of their after-tax money? The challenge, once you hit 70.5,
mm-hmm.
it's almost 4%. You've got to take that. So if you were hit both 70 today, now we're over 200,000 just from your retirement accounts, and that's going to get mm-hmm. worse each year.
So I get you, Scott. It's going to take a. If you do it over the next 2 years and they spend down the after tax dollars, it's going to make a little bit of a dent on the $6 million.
A little bit.
Right. Just a little bit.
So
it probably doesn't really matter.
Well,
it will matter a little.
Okay.
But it's on the fringes.
It's on the fringes.
What I would be more concerned about is a lifetime spending plan for you. That you mm-hmm. you know what makes people. So there's four components of happiness in retirement, and one of the components isn't how much money you have, it's how much money you plan on spending compared to what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what you have. So you need to prove to yourself.
The number one factor for people having confidence in retirement is not necessarily how much money they have, but have a spending plan that's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they get the confidence.
Relative to their assets. Yeah. So I would look at doing a spending plan, and I would look at doing the Roth IRAs, but it's almost immaterial in your situation. I'd prefer you actually start taking the money and spending it. And I started a 3% distribution. I'd take $190,000 out of my after-tax dollars. I'd pay off that home mortgage immediately. I'd probably start Social Security when, Scott?
Maybe even 62. I don't know. I'd run the numbers. And here's why. Here's my concern. You run the math and you say, it makes sense for us to wait until 70.
Because it grows at 8%.
That's assuming you're going to keep getting it. At 70, your required minimum distribution puts you in over $200,000 a year of taxable income. So,
yes.
As far as targets are, you know, if you think about all the discussion there's been on taxes the last couple of years. Is anyone out there saying the wealthy need a bigger tax cut? Heck, even the Republicans have thrown in the towel. So.
Mm-hmm.
When Social Security really starts putting a squeeze, who's going to be out there defending Marcy, saying, well, wait a minute, they have these dollars because they saved. They shouldn't have a reduction in Social Security.
So the fear is that there's going to be means testing for Social Security at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
So otherwise, if you wait, you're betting there's not. You are making a bet that they'll never make a change to Social Security.
And people are out there listening to us saying, these guys are so wrong because you're better off waiting as long as possible because
if
your
you need the money,
goes up by 8%
if you need the money.
A year. But if you don't need the money,
you obviously want it. You paid into it.
You might be better off taking it early or at a minimum.
At normal retirement age.
At normal retirement age, not waiting until age 70. Or maybe one of you takes it early and one of you takes it a little bit later. But I wouldn't land on that platform of just age 70 because it's going to have the highest value.
Okay. Right. That makes a lot of sense because I agree. I see the means testing in the future.
It's going to happen. It has to happen.
It already is a bit now when they tax you. The majority of Social Security recipients don't pay any income taxes because they have low income. Higher income recipients, 85% of the benefits are taxable.
So Marcy, well, you can do the Roth conversion on your original question. Yeah, do it. But more importantly, just pay down that mortgage and then start a 3% distribution on that $6 million or $180,000 a year and just go out and have a great time. I mean, those kids are gone. They are off the dole. Just go take the cruise, go to the Awani Hotel, spend the weekend, stay late, get up late, do whatever you want. You've deserved it. You worked hard.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys are great.
All right, Marcy.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. It's a big step, though. Yeah. And I think that just that planning, the right kind of planning, people have some income plan is so helpful for most people in retirement. We're taking a quick break. When we come back, we will continue with more calls to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON to join us. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are joining us on this weekend. Maybe it's a weekend. Maybe you're listening to podcasts. And it's any time of the day you want.
Yeah.
More and more people listen to podcasts, by the way.
I listen to podcasts. Do you listen
to our podcasts?
Oh, I don't listen to our podcasts because it'd be strange.
I listened to a podcast the other day of, I'm a runner and I've done some ultras in the past. And this woman, it was the Moab 200 mile foot race. It was actually 238 miles. And my friend, his name is Courtney, sent me this link thinking, hey, this podcast, hey, I think you might like this. And I see the winner of this race, Courtney Duvalis, I think it was her last name. And I thought, oh, how interesting. Another guy named Courtney who won the race. And I started listening to it, and it wasn't a guy who won the race. It was a woman, and she beat the number two runner, a male, by over 10 hours.
Wow. How is that?
I don't know. But they,
Well, you have a big run tomorrow, don't you? The California International Marathon? Which so if you're a new listener to our little program here, Scott is a... they call you are you an ultra marathon?
Well, I was. I kind of quit doing that stuff. My
ultra marathon.
I don't do the ultras anymore.
What's the difference between an ultra and a marathon?
Ultra is further than a marathon.
Hence the name ultra.
It could be Uber marathon, another term.
Yes. But
super marathon.
But last few years, you've been guiding a blind runner.
That's correct.
On a marathon.
Yes. So tomorrow I will be guiding a blind runner. And I've yet to meet him. I'll meet him tonight.
And you will.
He's from out of town.
You will run all 26 miles with this person.
No, the way they work it, so they in California, they've got, here in Sacramento, they have the International Championship for Visually Impaired Athletes come out to run. And I think there'll be 50-some-odd visually impaired runners. Some are completely blind. Some see shadows. So it's a different thing. But I will guide the first half, and then someone else will pick up and run the second half. They do that in case, you know, I have a bad day.
Oh, so that you're not slowing that runner down.
Yes. So as a matter of fact, last year I ended up picking up from another guy. I ran with an individual the first half.
Oh, 13 miles.
Yes, and then I was just going to continue to keep running. And I came across another visually impaired athlete and his guide, both friends of mine. And the guide was having a really bad day. And he needed me to take over.
And so you finished the marathon, the whole thing, guiding two different people.
I actually guided three last year. It was a strange day. But
were you guiding two at one time?
No, I finished with one, and this other guy didn't show up.
Would you run back and get some more and run them across?
That's me. Just, you know.
All day long.
So tomorrow.
Shuttling visually impaired people the finish line.
You know what I just love being around these people. And we have dinner tonight, and I'm going to really enjoy it because I brought my wife with me last year, and she's like, man, I'm so glad I came with you because these are survivors. If you look at how much the level of depression with people that are visually impaired, Like my good friend who organized this thing, Richard, he was in the Marines.
Oh, he's the guy I read about. Is his this whole, the guy with it has the family and then went blind and is the big runner?
Yes, he's a triathlete. There's Ironman. Ran a 100 mile ultra. Blind.
Really?
And became blind as an adult. He was in the Marines and started to have some strange... I mean, a lot of people become blind later in life. But what happens to a lot of these folks, and we'll get back to financial matter in a minute.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
These guys can wait.
A lot of people, blind people, struggle from depression.
I can imagine.
You lose your job. So... was it last year or the year before? One of the guys speaking.
You become very dependent.
You are dependent.
Yeah, you can't drive.
Correct. So there was a gentleman talked to, I think it was 2 years ago. He was the CEO of a small company, lost his job, lost his family, marriage blew apart. I mean, you can imagine just the new stresses, right?
Yeah.
And he said he had stayed home for like 2 weeks straight. Pretty much in bed all the time. And one day he's like, I'm going to die here. I got to keep living. And he started running. For him, running was an outlet where he felt some freedom again, something that he could have some control over. And he says he went on to run across the United States, got really into it, like Forrest Gump or something. But he said that I lost my sight, but I haven't lost my vision. And the people that are out there running all have this kind of attitude. They are survivors. And when you're around him, you're thinking, we all have things in life that are frustrating or whatever. It kind of puts things in perspective.
Yeah, they've got...
You know, my cell phone cuts out of me in the middle of a call and I'm
I've seen that.
Kind of a little irritant as opposed to...
To real things.
So I'm excited.
Well, that's very nice of you.
I don't know who I'm... I haven't met the gentleman I'm guiding tomorrow.
We'll have to report back.
We might. But anyway, that's tomorrow.
Have fun. I have...
So I'm not staying out late tonight.
I have technically... I've never run a marathon. In fact, to tell you the truth, I tried to watch one on television. I couldn't get all the way through.
Television? All right. Let's
get some calls.
Yeah, if you want to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number here. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. We're in San Francisco with Mike. Mike, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. I got a quick question about the use of single premium immediate annuities with joint life and their use for our retirement plan.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to pose it to you. First, a little background. My wife and I have no children and no legacy goals. That's probably important. And we plan on retiring in a few years. So I'm thinking about the following plan. I'm going to take 100% all of our qualified funds, 401k funds, and purchase multiple single premium immediate annuities with 2% COLA riders in different insurance companies for diversification. And they'll keep paying so long as one of us is alive. Those annuities...
Have you ran the numbers?
Yeah.
Okay, I continue on.
So those annuities, when combined with one Social Security income stream, would cover all of our essential expenses. So we'd have guaranteed income for all of our essential expenses. In addition to our qualified funds, we have non-qualified or taxable funds that are in equity index and bond funds that I would draw upon to fund our discretionary expenses, you know, renovate the bathroom, vacation trips, et cetera. The discretionary withdrawals would be at about an initial rate of 3.6% since I want those funds to last, I don't know, maybe 40 years, an increase with inflation. Those funds, those withdrawals for discretionary expenses just happen to equal about 50% of our essential expenses. So that's it. That's a simple plan.
Yeah, I assume...
100% of our qualified funds to purchase multiple SPIAs, 2% COLAs, with one Social Security. Go on.
I assume your home is paid for.
It is not. We have a home with a $350,000 mortgage. Its value is about $1.6 million, so we got a lot of equity already into it, and I don't see any reason to put more equity into it by paying off the mortgage.
You plan on living there forever?
Yep.
Do you have a 30-year mortgage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now down to about 25 years, yeah.
So.
I mean, you could certainly do this. This would certainly work. The only risk you have is if we have a period of hyperinflation. That's the only risk you got.
But he's got a. Yep. You could always fall back on a reverse mortgage. He said, stated himself, "Hey, I don't care." I assume you're going to buy some long-term care insurance as well.
Already have it.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with this plan.
The only thing I would caution you is don't make the decision today because you said it's 3 years out. And I've seen points in time where treasuries are actually yielding more than single premium immediate annuities.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But I think I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
Okay.
And another thing you... See, we're in a low interest rate environment, right? So when you're buying these, you're locking in essentially at these interest rates. Interest.
So you could layer them.
You could say, this is my plan, and I'm going to buy these over the next. I'm going to buy these over the next 4 years. I'm going to put 25% in one today, 25% in the next year.
That's exactly what I was thinking of doing. I chose a 3-year time frame, but I could do 4 years.
There's no right answer.
So you get the concept. Mike, I've got it. Yep. I'm curious. What do you do for a living?
Me?
Yeah,
actuary.
I basically do sales, but I am one of these anal people.
Uh-huh.
Who does a lot of research online about retirement planning? So I've spent a lot of time learning about this stuff.
Yeah, because this
is about the risk, most risk free you can get,
and actually has a lot of thought behind it. And I assume that you're going to buy SPIAs, single premium immediate annuities with non commissions directly from a vendor.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That is exactly right. And I would keep them all under $350,000 because in California that is the maximum insurable rate with, you know, the insurance pool they have that you can get insurance for.
Yeah, I think you need to go do more research.
Yeah.
You've done. Look, there isn't. I can't argue with this.
Nope.
I can't argue with this at all. Like the concept that both you and Scott agreed on, that maybe you layer it in. And remember, if the goal is the last check you write bounces, then at some point in time, a reverse mortgage may make sense for you because then you're taking it all off the table.
Yeah.
There's nothing left.
That's conceptually, you're right. I kind of feel like that's my reserve in case anything goes really haywire.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got the discretionary fund that have a pretty low withdrawal rate at 3.6% initial draw rate.
And
that should last maybe 40 years. Who knows?
And you'll have that as a balanced account?
Yeah, it is in a balanced account. It is an aggressive account because I would have so much of my essential expenses guaranteed. I'd probably take a 70% equity, 30% bond ratio with that.
Good enough. Don't share this with any of your relatives that may possibly be inheriting money from you.
Why is that?
Well, because there's no benefit in that. great job. I like it. We like it.
Yeah.
We like it. Like it.
Cool. Hey,
all right, Mike.
Thanks so much, then. It's good to get that confirmation. Thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. You know, what's interesting, Pat, is the right kind of retirement plan is the one that works for you. That's the right kind.
Yes.
That works for you. Not just an idea, but one that can actually put into plan and work. And I remember years ago meeting a gentleman. He had sold a business. He took 100% of his proceeds and put it in an S&P 500 index fund. And lived off the dividends. And I met him. He says, I did this about 10 years prior. And he said to me, it may not be the perfect thing to do, but it seems to be working for me. And I remember thinking, you know, he's got a really good point.
If it works.
It's probably not the perfect thing. But it worked for him. He did some research on the history of dividends.
Yeah, he knows what the dividends were. They have a tendency to keep up with inflation as long as you can weather the fluctuations in the market value. You're fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Although we need to remember, think back 10 years ago, 9 years ago, during the financial crisis, there was a lot of people talking about how it's different this time, how the markets are going to continue to fall, how it's changed, how corporate profits aren't going to recover, et cetera, et cetera. So we need to remember when times are good, people tell us why it's not going to change.
Yeah.
But same thing when times are bad.
Yes.
Yeah. So times are good right now, so we don't need to really worry about it. But when we're back in those bad
times. It will be. There will be times where it's bad.
I always like to tell people, go back and look at some headlines back in the other, when times were bad.
Look at it in 99, 2000, 2008, 2009, 2010.
During the bad times.
During the bad times.
Yeah. If you'd like to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join us. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. Let's talk to Anna. Anna, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello. How are you?
We're wonderful. Hi, Anna.
Hi. I have a question about, we have a mortgage, and we just refinanced to a 15-year mortgage versus a 30-year.
Mm-hmm.
My question is it better to, I've heard different opinions on, it's better to pay off the primary mortgage faster, and so you'll be kind of debt-free, or I've heard another version where you want to hold on as much as possible so you can have more write-offs.
Okay,
right.
As you go. So so my question is, what is your opinion on that?
Tell us how old you are.
I am 40.
And are you married?
Yes.
And your spouse is of similar age?
Yes, he's 44.
And how much are you saving for retirement now?
Not much. We have a 401. I have 401k, and I usually max out that, which is $18,000 a year.
You just said not much. That's a lot. That's hilarious.
We're not doing anything extra besides the 401k.
And does your spouse put money in their 401k or retirement plan?
No, he works for himself, so he doesn't have that option. So,
well, he actually,
no, that's our only.
He actually does. He just needs to.
What's the family income on an annual basis? Your salary and his net income from his business.
So it's about $200,000.
And any children at home?
We have four.
Four kids.
Are you saving any money for their college expenses or?
Not really. They're in private school, so it's a lot of money.
Oh, got it already.
That way it won't become quite as much of a shock when they
go to... I've talked to some people who spend as much for private high school as college.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you have a 15-year fixed-rate mortgage. I don't even know if I would have recommended a 15-year fixed-rate mortgage, actually, in your situation.
Because the flexibility a 30-year would provide?
Yeah, and then all you do is just decide...
You want to make extra.
I
wouldn't. So look,
are you asking, should you make extra payments on this 15 year?
Yeah. Is the goal.
No, absolutely not.
No, okay. So just go with the flow and just do the
if you were 60, would say, let's get this thing paid off. So our opinion, here's our opinion. You asked what our opinion is. Our opinion is to work in such a manner so that you hit your time and at retirement age, whether it means you're going to retirement age, with your home paid off.
And your husband will be 59 when that happens. How old's your youngest child?
He's 8.
8. So your youngest child will be 23 and, God willing, out of the house, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah, I wouldn't make a what's the interest rate? Less than around 4%?
I think it's 3 something.
Yeah, I wouldn't make an extra payment at all. Not at all.
And does your husband have any employees?
No, he's self-employed and he does just, he has a small business. So
right, so he can contribute to a SEP IRA or even a solo K.
A solo K, and he should, assuming he's got taxable income.
You'd be
income.
Much better off doing that than you would be putting more against your mortgage,
yes.
In our opinion.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you
okay.
Want to set up a solo K or a SEP.
Uh-huh. We have IRA, but it's, we have a, there's two types of IRA, right? Roth IRA and there's a other IRA.
Mm-hmm.
So would you recommend to put, well, I think, I don't know if we're allowed to put anything in IRA.
You're precluded from a tax deduction on an IRA and you're precluded from a Roth IRA, but you're not precluded from a Roth 401k if you have that through work or for your husband to do a Roth. But given the fact you've got $200,000 of gross income, you're probably in a higher tax bracket.
We got, yeah.
In California, I would use the traditional.
Yeah. And I would do it through my, I would do it, how much is of his, how much does his net income approximately of this $200,000, how much does he make?
Not much, like maybe 50.
Yeah, but still, you can.
I would do it. Yeah, I would do
you
it.
You could do SEP IRA.
SEP IRA. And start putting money in there. You can put $7,500 a year in.
Yeah, if you want to save any more, I'd rather you do that than pay it on your, down your mortgage.
Yeah, don't pay down the mortgage at all. Yeah,
I wouldn't bother.
Okay.
No. All righty?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds
appreciate
good.
The call.
You
You're
so
on the
much.
Right track, Annie. You guys are doing great.
Oh, I have four kids. And how old's the oldest? Youngest is eight?
16.
Very nice. Very. So I have four children. I have four children. My youngest is now 17 and three in college. In fact, one just graduated from college. It's hard to believe.
That's congratulations.
Well, thank
That's
you.
A big step.
Thank you. I don't know if I'm happier about it or he's happier about it. I'm not quite sure who's happier.
Appreciate the call, Anna. Yeah, appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I
wish
thank
you well.
You. Bye-bye.
All right, if you'd like to be part of the program, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. Let's go to Denver, Colorado with Dina. Dina, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thank you. My question is, when is life insurance worth it? I had a chance to get life insurance without a medical exam about 4 months ago, and I said, yeah, and then I'll figure it out. And now I need to figure it out if it's worth doing or not.
Got it. Got it. So one of the things is, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, who is dependent upon your income or net worth if you are no longer in the picture? So,
right, and that's why I've never gotten life insurance, because no one is.
Okay, so
you don't plan on having children in the future or anything?
Nope.
If you passed away, is there enough money to
bury you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
So what's your approximate net worth, including equity in your home or in retirement savings or any savings?
Retirement savings is going to be $640,000, and equity in the house is $100,000.
You don't need any life insurance.
I'm doing Science Direct. Yeah, I'm doing Science Direct, so there will be no funeral costs.
I don't know what Science Direct is. Can you tell me what Science Direct is?
Oh, they just take your body?
Science Direct is wonderful. It's great. They take your body, they provide it for science, and they're so wonderful to people. They help my wife out. They're great people. And then they hand you this lovely little box with the cremated remains and a beautiful memorial for no cost.
And so they use whatever
that's a great idea.
Organs that are available. Is that what happens, or?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And they, what happened when my wife passed away, I called them. It's a 1-800 number you carry with you in your purse or whatever. And they came right away, and they comforted me, and they took her body, and they gave me a beautiful, beautiful remains.
So I didn't know it was called – I had a daughter that died of a heart condition. How old now? She would have been 23. But we allowed them to use whatever organs were available, and then we buried her. But I guess it was kind of the same thing. It's just they've actually formalized the process. But that's beyond that.
Right.
Sorry for your loss.
Yes,
you don't need life insurance.
You have they're wonderful.
You have absolutely no need for life insurance.
And if you were going to get life insurance, you're better off getting life insurance when it requires a medical examination.
If you needed it.
Yeah.
If you need it. Now, what you should be doing, though, is thinking about estate planning, which is where are these dollars going to go, your 401k, your IRAs, and your home when you pass away.
I have a will, and I'm going to change it when my friend's kids are 18. But right now, the house is going to my friends, and the rest of my estate is going to the Maryland Institute of Technology and Humanities, where my writing is.
Oh, beautiful.
Cool. Great.
So, beautiful. And
yeah,
what do you write? I'm now intrigued, Dina. I know this is a financial show. Please bear with us. What do you write about?
Sure. I'm an electronic literature writer, and I wrote the first interactive work of fiction in the 90s.
I don't know what that means.
Write elit. Electronic literature is when you write a work that requires sound, images, links as part of the meaning.
Interesting.
Oh.
So it's fun.
Well, very nice of you.
So I... Yeah, so I have that. So I basically, I'm paying the premium for the first month, and I should just...
How did you buy this? How did you end up with this?
Well, I'm a federal employee, and Figley opens once every 20 years.
Got it. Yeah, you
still don't.
And
need it.
I also have a fatal disease, so I can't even get long-term insurance. They just laughed me out of the market.
Wait, let's step back.
Stop. Do you have a less than normal life expectancy?
Oh yeah.
And this is hard to talk about. So what is your life expectancy? What do you believe it to be?
Anything from 60 seconds to 30 years, probably more like the 60-second bit. I have a bone in my heart that can go at any time.
So this is a really interesting situation, right? So if you had people dependent upon your income, no question, get life insurance. Now, because this is non-medically underwritten, you're pooled with people that are going to live to 95 or whatever,
and
right?
Your life expectancy could be 95, or it could be, as you said, 20 minutes.
53, yeah.
How big of life insurance can you get here?
Paying $90, I'm doing the Figley regular and additional, and I honestly didn't look at the
When you retire, how long can you keep it forever? Is it a whole life?
I can keep it forever, but it's whole life, and the price goes up.
And how much? What's the face value?
Federal employee. I have no idea.
All right. So here's this. From an investment standpoint, there'd probably be someone who would be willing to buy this from you.
Yes. And if you were, the reason you would. It's morose. It's terrible to talk about. But the reason you would buy this is if you expected, you'd be betting your life expectancy is short.
Yeah. I don't like that concept, though.
I can't live with that.
No.
Yeah.
I can't advise you to.
I could live to 90.
I understand that. Don't buy it.
Don't buy it. I wouldn't buy it.
You don't need it.
I wouldn't have it.
Yeah. Don't need it.
Nope.
Get rid of it.
Yep. Get rid of it.
All right, Dina.
Okay.
Appreciate
it.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank
I hope you're around 30 years,
much.
By the way. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks. Okay. Anyway, we are out of time, unfortunately. We come to you each week at the same time at the station. And if you'd like to listen to a podcast and you don't subscribe now, simply go to HansonMcLean.com, and there's a little even tutorial to walk you through the best way to subscribe to this if you're not a regular podcast listener. If you are, then just subscribe to us where you get your other podcasts. And we'd love to be with you that way as well. We're out of time. Well, we'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.